Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. It is good to see all you here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for braving the cold weather and being here. I want to say thank you to everyone who has served so far tonight and who will serve. The people who play the music, the people who greet and who prepare the food to be served, and all of you who are going to take part in watching the kids throughout the night, everything that gets done here. Thank you so much for all of your work. It is such a joy and a pleasure to be part of a community like this where people just use their gifts all the time to serve God. And it's wonderful. Thank you. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Park Church. We've been going through a series throughout this Christmas season called Light of Life. And what we're basically doing is looking at the birth of Jesus and asking, how does it shed light into our lives? You might have noticed the very first scene in that video. It was just darkness. There was no light. But as soon as the match was struck and the candle was lit, it lit up the whole scene. Because that is what light does. Light chases away darkness. Light helps us to see. Light draws us in towards itself. It shows us the way forward. What we've seen about Jesus throughout this whole season is that Jesus is that light for our lives. He is the light of the world. His light, when he's born, it changes everything. Born that day at Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, a human being, just like you and I, but when he was born, it changes everything in the world. It shows us who God is. It shows us how we can use our gifts to serve God. It shows us how he came to save us from our sins. It shows us how we can share that light with the world around us. This evening, what we're going to look at is how it shows us that God is with us. You heard the girl in that video read it, and this is what we're going to look at. Just that one phrase, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Have you ever had a moment in your life where it just felt like God was with you? A situation where you didn't think it was going to work out, there was no way for it to work out, and it worked out in a way that far exceeded what you could have hoped for or imagined, and you can only say to yourself, that's God. God was with me there. Or some time in your life with your friends or your family where things just feel right. You say, God is with me here. You know, when I started working on this sermon on Sunday night around 9 o'clock, I got a text message from someone, and as is my practice, I checked the text message, and I got distracted by the rest of my phone. And the very first story to come up on my Facebook feed, I don't know how I landed there, the very first story was this. This is by a friend of mine. This year is our first Christmas as a married couple. I love this girl so much. She is so amazing. This weekend, we finished decorating our tree. We got couches. We built a bookshelf, built a desk, added some decoration to our kitchen. Our humble apartment is really becoming a home. Right in time for the holidays, too. Life couldn't get any better. I read that and thought, thank you. That's a picture of God is with us. I imagine, though, for a lot of people who come into this place, that is not your experience of God. You come in here, maybe you feel a little inspired by the Christmas music or by hearing about Jesus and what he means, but how many of you will go home to the rest of your life and say, God, where are you? Maybe you're someone who's been a Christian for a long time and you're here this evening, but you're having a rough patch in life where you say, God, how come you're not around to help? Maybe there are some of you here who are not Christians at all. You don't believe any of this stuff. You were brought here by your friend or by your family, and it's great that you're here. And so you're here this evening listening to me saying to yourself, if there is a God, which I don't actually believe there is, if there is, that God is not with me. And I bet a lot of you have really great reasons for thinking that way. Because life is hard. Maybe you lost someone who you love, and they should be sitting next to you right now, and they're not. And it's the holidays, and that makes life hard. That makes you say, God, how come you're not with me here? Maybe you are having a difficult time with your family, with your friends. Maybe it's someone who you have to sit across the table from tonight at Christmas Eve dinner, and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying with that person, and nothing is helping, and you're saying to yourself, you're saying to God, God, why aren't you helping? Why aren't you with me? Maybe life, for some of you, is just a struggle, one struggle after another. You've tried changing the relationships that keep you down, and it hasn't worked. You tried changing your jobs, you lost your job, and you can't find a new one. You've tried every single approach to that impossible situation, and nothing seems to be working. God might be working, but not for you. He's working against you. Sometimes life can feel like it's just darkness, like God is not with us. We need light. The promise of Christmas that I get to share with you this evening is a simple one. Jesus is born, Emmanuel, which means God is with us, which means that God is with you. And I want to unpack what that means. The first thing that we see about how God is with us is that God is at your side. He is not distant. He does not keep himself far away from us. What we see at that manger in Bethlehem is that God comes right down near to us. So near, in fact, that he becomes one of us. A human born with the same flesh and blood and bones and emotions that you and I have. He's erased any distance that exists between us. Now, I know this is not the way that God is usually thought about in a lot of our popular imagery of God, right? When you ask someone, what do you think about God? A lot of times what you get is, he's kind of out there somewhere, maybe. If he exists at all, he doesn't really impact my life at all. Maybe he kind of got the world in motion, but he's taken a step back and he's seen it kind of fall apart. That's God. There are other world religions that picture God as so high, so mighty, so holy, that it's unimaginable for that God ever to climb down into human skin and be with us in our dirt and our mess and whatnot. It'd be blasphemous to think that way. Even the picture of God that we see in the Old Testament can be something like that sometimes. Now, true, there are promises that God will one day be with us in the Old Testament, but a lot of what we see in the Old Testament is a God who comes down in things like a pillar of fire. Or God speaks to us out of a violent whirlwind. God shakes the mountains, right? There's a pretty well-known story of Moses. You've probably heard of Moses, right? Moses wants to go up the mountain and get a face-to-face with God. God says to him, I'll have you up, but let me just tell you, if you see me face-to-face, you will die. No one can see me face-to-face and live. And so God kind of hides Moses behind this rock so that he can't really get a clear view of God. And all God lets him see is him kind of walking by quickly the backside. That's all Moses could tolerate. And even that was so great that when he came back down the mountain, he had to put a veil, a hood, over his face because his face was radiating so brightly that the rest of the people there would have been burned up or hurt because of the light coming off of his face just from seeing that little sliver of God's glory. That's God in the Old Testament. There are promises, though, that one day God will live with and among his people. But that day has not yet come. What God with us means is that that day has come. That's the startling claim of Christmas, that God is actually born right there at our side with us in that tumble-down stable at Bethlehem, as Luke writes, with the manger and the animals, and there's no room at the inn. That scene is not written to give us cute images for our Christmas cards of happy cows and glowing babies. That scene is written to show us something about what God is doing when he comes down in Jesus. It's written to show us how in Jesus, God gets right into the mess and the dirt and the poverty of our lives with us. How low God has come to be with us. God is born on earth, not in a palace or a place of power, not in the temple surrounded by super religious people. He's born in a run-of-the-mill little town that is 100 miles from anywhere. And he's not even born in a place where decent folk like us would stay, the inn, right? He's kicked out back where the cows and the chickens and the horses live. This was a dirty, messy, smelly, and sickness-filled place. The imagery here is obvious. There is no place too far, too low, too humble for God's presence to go to be with you. Our messy lives, the worst we can throw at him, it does not scare this God away. It's where he comes to live with us. What is the messy thing in your life that you feel like God can't stand to be around? I think we all have something. God is with us means that your darkness, the mess that you've got, doesn't scare him away. His light wants to shine in your darkness. It means that whatever you might have done, whatever the mistakes you've made, however much you wrestle or doubt God, however much you've ignored God, God is with us means that he does not ignore you. He does not go away from you. The simple message of Christmas here is no. Emmanuel, God is with you. He is at your side. Not only does God not run away from your mess, but God runs to it, to you, to come right down to you, to be with you in whatever you've got, into your addiction, into your depression, into your grief, despite your mistakes, even in your doubt and your disbelief. We try our best to distance ourselves from God, but God overcomes that distance at Christmas in every way. God is with you. He is not distant. He is at your side. Now, the question that this might raise for some of you, well, is why? Why would God do this? Why would God come down into humanity and put himself at such risk as that vulnerable baby in that dirty manger? Why does God come at Christmas? It's because God refuses to let us go. He has insisted on making himself one of us and one with us in order to make our lost cause his own, to restore us to himself in love. God is with us because God loves us. I'm going to put it like this. God is at your side because God is on your side. Do you know what it's like to have someone on your side without any questions? That person who has your back, who's in your corner, regardless of the situation, someone who you can go to with anything, and you know that they have your best in mind all the time. What's that like? It's comforting. It's reassuring. It's joyful. It makes life easier, doesn't it? The amazing message of Christmas is that God is on your side. Not in the sense that he's on your side of the fight versus your wife, or on your wife's side versus you. Not like that. Not like he's on our side over against our enemies over there in that place or in that country. Not like that at all. He's on our side as humanity, as people who struggle with darkness and evil and cruelty and loneliness and hopelessness. The picture of God that we get when we look at Jesus is that he has seen the lost cause of all of us. That because of something called sin, which is at the root of every bit of darkness we face, and because of the guilt that we share in it, he sees that we have no way of saving ourselves. And this God is not content to allow us to lie down in the graves that we're digging. Instead, he comes to us to be with us, to take up our lost cause and make it his own. I think that one of the most beautiful stories that illustrates this comes from Jesus himself. You probably heard of the story of the Good Samaritan, right? That's a term you're probably familiar with. It pictures a man who is on the road, going from one place to another, robbers, bandits, thieves get him, they beat him, they strip him naked, and they leave him in a ditch, half dead, on the side of the road. This man has no hope unless someone finds him and rescues him. Two religious men come along. Jesus ironically says that these people go to the other side of the road. They don't want anything to do with him. And then a good Samaritan comes along. He's riding on his donkey. He's riding down the road. He sees the man. He gets off the donkey. He gets down low into the ditch with him. He binds up his wounds. He cleans him. He picks the man up, puts the man on the donkey that he was riding. He switches places with him, and he rides this man into town, into an inn where he can be cared for, where he can be treated. And he says to the innkeeper, anything it costs to get this man back to health, I'm going to pay. Jesus tells this story to show us what God is doing for the world through him. He has come among us to shoulder our burden, to save us from the disaster that's fallen upon us in this world, where we have no way to save ourselves. He's come to heal our wounds, to pay the price that we cannot pay ourselves, to rescue us from every ditch that we've gotten ourselves stuck into, to restore us. This is the meaning of Jesus' entire life, from his birth to his death to his resurrection. It was God with us, on our side, taking onto himself all of our darkness, all of our mess, to redeem us. He puts us on his back and carries us to God for healing, for restoration, for reconciliation. God with us. This is God with us, sinners, taking our place, doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, but what we need done for us more than anything else in the entire world. God has done this in Jesus because he loves you. He's on your side. And this means that you have nothing to fear. You don't have to wonder any longer if God's love is for you. God is on your side. You are free from looking around and comparing your goodness with the goodness of other people and hoping that yours is enough to get yourself into God's graces. Enough. God is on your side. You don't have to live under the oppressive shadow of imagining that because things aren't working out for you, God is somehow working against you. Like some sort of reverse Christian karma. It's nonsense. God is on your side. God is at your side. He is on your side. And so what preposition do I have left to use? There's a lot of them. God is by your side. And before you get confused about the difference between at and by, let me clarify for you what I mean. I mean that God wants you by his side. God is with us means that God wants a relationship with you. He wants you by his side. It's what we were made for. Because it's one thing if we hear about God, know a little bit about God, but it's a whole other thing to be walking by his side. Walking next to him, following him, living in real relationship with him. Do you know the difference between those two? I heard a story once of a young adult girl who wanted to be a professional singer. It was her life's whole dream. There was one singer who was a professional already who she looked up to. She emulated, she modeled her whole life off of. She wanted to be this singer. She went to countless performances where this woman performed. She was, thrilled to be there. Every time that she sat in the audience and listened to this singer perform, for her, it was like being in the presence of the divine. She worshiped this girl. She never met her, though. And one time, she had a chance to meet her. They were in a backstage room after a concert, and across the room walks the professional singer who she just worshiped in every way. She looks across the room and wants to go up and meet her, finally, meet her idol, finally. And she doesn't. She's stopped dead in her tracks. She's too afraid to go. She's afraid that maybe the singer will ask her to sing her a line or two and she would not live up, or that the singer would say, you know what, you're good, but you're not good enough. Why don't you quit and do something else? She was afraid that she might say the wrong thing or embarrass herself or just annoy this singer. And so she didn't. She didn't go up to her and meet her. Later in life, as this young girl recounts this story, she looks back on that moment and says that that was the greatest failure in her life. Because the gulf is wide between being in the presence of a great singer at a concert and meeting her face to face, knowing her, maybe becoming her student, becoming her colleague, having her give you feedback, give you encouragement, maybe even becoming friends someday. Listen, it is one thing to know something about God, to come to the performance on Sundays or on Christmas Eve. It's a whole other thing entirely to know God by His side, to be in relationship with Him where you walk with Him, talk with Him, listen to Him, committed to His work, follow Him with your life. What is it that keeps you from having that sort of relationship with God? It's guilt, lack of discipline, laziness, bad friends, bad influences, fear. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. Claw your way through anything that keeps you from being with God. This evening and going forward, allow God is with us to transform you, to motivate, to dominate your heart. Go to God and say, yes, I want to know you and follow you. I've heard enough. Now it's time for me to follow. If you want to say that to God and follow Jesus, you're in the right place right now. This church exists to help people do that exact thing. If you're thinking that way right now or any other Sunday, there are white Connect cards in all of the seats in front of you. Just write your information down on the back. Check off the first thing. I want to learn more about becoming a follower of Jesus. Put it in one of the boxes, and someone from our staff will follow up with you and help you get on that path to walking by God's side together. So God is at your side. He is on your side. He wants you by His side. And I want to just add one word to this by way of closing. It's the word always. God is with us always. Do you know the very last thing that Jesus says to His followers in the Gospel of Matthew? Before He sends them out into the world to embody and proclaim that good news of God is with us, do you know what He says? He says to them, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then what about the end of the age? What then? This is simply stunning. The very last scene in the very last book of the Bible pictures for us the end of the age. It imagines a new heavens, a new earth, and it imagines a city. And I want to wrap up and just by just reading this because it wraps up God is with us and wraps up Light of Life better than I could ever hope for. Listen to what it says. See, the home of God is among people. He will dwell with them. They will be His peoples, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the city has no need for sun or for moon to shine in it, for the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is Jesus, who is the Lamb, who is the light of life. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the gift of You sending Your Son into this world at Christmas time to be born among us. We thank You, God, that in Him You have come to be with us, to be near to us, to take up the cause that we need taken up for us, and to walk with us so that we can follow You and know You and trust You. Lord, we pray that you would transform our hearts so that the message of God is with us, sends us out of here renewed by your Spirit. God, we pray that we would not wonder or fear or doubt any more than we need to, because we trust that you are God with us and we believe that. God, I thank you for each and every person who is in this place right now. I pray, Lord, that we would all have a wonderful continued celebration of the birth of your Son in Bethlehem. Lord, in this world where we are surrounded by darkness and we're in it every day, we need you to come and be with us, make your presence known, chase away the darkness of the night. And so we pray now, Lord, that you would come, Emmanuel. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.